Our scripture reading is Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We'll read the three verses that open it. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is God's holy, infallible, and eternal word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we turn now to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, after somewhat of a lengthy study of Hebrews 11, we're going to get to the author's point. You should know that when you read scripture, that the words are important, and the word that begins this paragraph, the word that begins the 12th chapter, is the word therefore. That should turn on a light switch in your mind that ratchets it up a little bit, that says what? This is the important point that he is going to make based on all of the stuff that he has said before. All of the things that we read, particularly in the 11th chapter of the heroes of faith, beginning with Abel, Abraham, Moses, and all of those people, they were listed so that we could make this point. And the point is this: since we have all of those people that are mentioned, if you wanted to suggest that it might be summarized that way, he calls it a cloud of witnesses. All of those from Abel through Abraham and Moses, all of those things that we have just gone over, he says, let us do something. Here's the point. Run the race that's set before us. Remember, this letter was a letter written to first century Christians who were on the verge of what? Giving up the race. Quitting. Under fierce persecution, yes. But these Jewish Christians, having been Jews, now converted to Christ, they were under persecution, on the verge of shrinking back and perhaps even compromising their faith. The whole of this letter was written to encourage them to anchor their faith in the truth of God's word and maintain their confidence in Jesus Christ. And there are many words that our author uses to encourage these believers. He says, hold fast. He uses the word strive. Go on to maturity. Seize the hope. And the key recommendation in this paragraph is endure. Continue on. The writer reminds us that all of those saints in chapter 11 were mentioned so that as we come now to this chapter, we will endure. And then he points us to the one who endured under all stress and circumstances, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to you and to me because this applies to us as well. It might be that we tend to slip back, as it were, a little, to ease up in our commitment, tempted to abandon our faith, or to use the language of the race, maybe to let the next guy in the next lane go on and we sort of hold back, or maybe even we want to give up. Races are not for the faint-hearted, but we are in a spiritual race. And as we'll see, it's not a race that we are able to just simply say, I don't want to run anymore, I want to give up, or I want to quit, but it's a race that we must endure to the end. And we endure to the end, and we run this race, as our writer now comes to his main point of his letter, by faith in Christ. And that's why here he says, looking unto Jesus. Look at Christ. Put your faith in him and in him alone, and you will endure and you will run the race. You will cross the finish line. Now, how do we do that? How do we endure? Well, first we have to run the race. Then we have to lay aside every weight, every obstacle, he says. And then we have to look to Jesus, the author of our faith. Those are the things that this paragraph seems to center on, and I think that it is the heart of the writer's message. He likens the Christian life in this paragraph, and I think in the whole of his letter, to the runner in the Olympic arena. Thousands of spectators, vigorous training, great physical exertion, but there's a goal, there's a prize. And the completion of that course that's mapped out is what he wants us to do. He begins with specific instruction. That's the verb that anchors this passage. Verbs are always important in Scripture because they contain most of the main thought. And the main thought of this verse is run. Run the race. Now, if you think back to the 11th chapter, there are some examples, I think, that sort of stand out as those who ran the race. You could look back at Abraham and say, certainly he ran the race. Jacob or Moses or any of those mentioned in the 11th chapter, they ran, and many ran with perseverance, although they faltered at many times and in many occasions, but they did what they were supposed to do. They ran the race. What does that mean? They put forth a vigorous effort. It is calling us to a vigorous exertion, an effort of self-denial, of self-discipline. Christianity, said one Puritan author, does not consist in abstract speculations, specious talk, but in holy actions. In other words, running the race, holy actions. Persevering endurance is what our author says here. And when he uses this illustration of running the race, when he says to you and me, run the race, he says, persevere in that. That means you don't quit. That means it's an active perseverance. Energetic, full of hard work, training is required. Rigorous demands are given to us. There were some whose effort decreased. Our writer has told us about that in Hebrews 2. Some were held back by sin. Hebrews 3 records some examples of that. Some forgot their intensity of purpose, and the fourth chapter of Hebrews gives examples of that. They had to recover that intensity, and some had to shake off their sluggishness, and the sixth chapter speaks of that. Maybe that applies to us. In our situations, we want to decrease our effort. We want to let somebody else do it. Sin holds us back in our own lives. We need to recover the intensity of purpose. We need to persevere to the end. That's running. It's a rigorous race, but it's a race that's mapped out for us in the Word of God. It's a race. That's the words here. In other places, the Bible calls the Christian life a fight, a struggle, all to point out that this life of Christian living is a life that is to be a life lived, as the 11th chapter suggests, over and over again. And if you don't remember anything else from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, remember those two little words that are repeated over and over again. By faith. You need those two words. Abraham needed those two words. Moses needed those two words. All of those that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, by faith, they did what they did. You run the Christian race. You live the Christian life. You need those two words. You have to do it by faith. It's a life of faith that you're called to, and it's a life of faith in God's word and obedience to God's word. Jesus says, if you love me, how many here would like to say, I love Jesus? Oh, some of the hands went up real quick. Well, of course we love Jesus. We're Christians. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Did you get the second part? How's that part going? That's a life of obedience, a life of submission to his word. How do you do that? By faith. A life of service, an entire life of service. When does that life begin? It begins with the new birth, when you're born again. When does that life of service end? When your physical life here on earth ends. There's no retirement from the Christian life in the Bible. There's no quitting before the last lap. You know, I never made track in school, track and field, because I didn't have the energy to go to the last lap. There were some guys, they could fly around the track. They had track down pat. They did a good job. For me, when I had track, it was always too much. Sometimes that last lap was the one that almost killed you. And sometimes you had to drop out. Some guys got sick. Some guys got hurt. Some guys just couldn't make it. Our writer says, you as a Christian, you have to go to the last lap. There is no retirement, no quitting. Run the race. Now, how do I run the race? How do I get to the end? To the goal, the finish line. Well, you begin this way, he says, by throwing off or laying aside every weight. And what is that weight? He says this, the sin that clings so closely. If you're going to be a runner, you have to be prepared. And the imagery of the runner here, the Olympic runner, of course, is that they threw off all of their clothing that would impede them in running. You know, when you're running, you don't want to get a sheet or whatever that toga looked like wrapped around your legs and, you know, you're going to go flat on the floor. So the Olympic runners in the original Olympics ran without the benefit of any clothing at all. But that gave them the benefit of not getting things entangled around their feet and tripping and falling and such, as such, failing. Our writer takes that imagery now, he applies that to you and to me in our Christian life. To run the Christian life, you have to throw off everything that's going to restrict your activity. What will restrict your activity? Well, he calls it a weight, something that minimizes the reality and the enormity of sin that is steadfastly resisted. Anything that tends to excuse human weaknesses is to be rejected. Oh, I can't do it. It's just little old me. I don't have the ability that this or that person has, and so I'm not going to run the race. It's anything that holds us down, and specifically the sin that entangles us. Here he comes back to that imagery of the runner. If your feet were entangled with something, you are going to go down, fall flat. And this imagery now is applied to sin. Don't let any sin tangle you up, because sin will mar your performance as a Christian. Sin will distract you as a runner running this race, this Christian life. Anything that distracts will put you out of the race, slow you down, hold you back. He likens this weight to something like a snare. Runners don't need a snare, something to trip on. Runners don't need baggage that weighs them down. Runners cannot be successful if they are entangled by these things. And in your Christian life, running the race, also important, the first thing you have to do is see what's holding you back. What is the sin that so easily entangles? For each, it's different. For some, it may be sensuality. Some, it may be jealousy. Jealousy is something that just simply rots the soul. Could be dishonesty, maybe a vile temper, sin that so easily entangles. Covetousness, envy, criticism, laziness, hatred, lust, unthankfulness. The list of sins could go on, but the writer says, whatever sin it is that tangles you up, what keeps you from running this race? What is it that keeps you from being faithful? A life of faith, a life of obedience, a life of submission to doing the will of God. The writer says, if you're going to run the race, you have to throw that off. And that comes from self-examination. That comes from looking to the Word of God and to faith. faith that helps us through and enables us to throw that weight off. And then he says, focus on Jesus. What's the goal of a runner in a race? The finish line. To be the first one across that tape. You watch the Olympics, you watch maybe even some of the local high schools. I don't know if they use a finish line tape, but you see the line, and he comes to the finish line, and he's got his arms up, he's rejoicing, and he's stretching for that finish line. He's ahead of everybody else, and there's a tape there, and he goes through. That's the goal. That's the end of the line. That runner wants to finish, and wants to finish first. How do you run the Christian life? A writer says, throw off every weight, run the race, but focus on the goal. What's the goal that he wants us to focus on? Jesus. Looking to Jesus. You see, if you're looking to Jesus, you're not looking to your own strength, to your own self. I think it was Benjamin Franklin said, going to study a virtue every day. And after a while, he said he'd be very virtuous. And he started off and found how difficult it was to deal with even one virtue and polish that one off every day. What is it that entangles you? What is it that keeps you from sin? The only way to keep from sin and to run the race is to focus on Jesus. Our writer says he should be the object of your faith. What do you mean by that? Well, are you relying on him by faith? By faith! All of those in chapter 11 conquered, were victorious. They received the promise, even though they did not see what God had promised them. We have the promise in Jesus Christ. Rely on him and endure, because our victory is in Jesus Christ alone, who will, as the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 2, bring many sons to glory. He's the leader. It will not be possible to falter and fail if we follow him. So he says, fix your eyes on him. We have this great cloud of witnesses, and they attest to the fact that they look to God for their strength and for his promise, and we are to look to Jesus, and we are to look to him. He is the preeminent man of faith, because in his earthly life and in his earthly ministry, he lived by faith. How did he endure the cross? By faith. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. How did Jesus accomplish that in his earthly ministry as a human? He did it by faith. He endured. He underwent arrest, false accusation, unjust condemnation, suffering and death, the cross. And he did it by faith that God, the Father, would sustain him. And he did it. And he lived that life of faith so that you and I would have that perfect model, that one to look to for strength, that we might live by faith in his promise. By faith, he always looked to the Father, speaking and acting in dependence upon his heavenly Father. Remember, he said, I come to do the will of my Father. By faith, he looked away from all of the discouragements and the difficulties and the oppositions, committing his cause to the Lord. We look at what Jesus endured and we might say, why didn't he just go through it all and forget it? He endured because he set before himself constantly that goal of finishing, that goal of the cross and what it meant, the bringing of many sons to glory. And so he met those oppositions, he met those difficulties, he met those discouragements by faith in his heavenly Father who would never fail him. By faith he resisted and he overcame all temptation from Satan and from false messianic expectations and unbelieving people of Israel to whom he came, and even his own disciples who did not understand him. By faith he overcame and he performed the miracles which were the symbols of his power and the love of God's salvation which they symbolized. He did it by faith, and we are taught that in all of these things he trusted in God, his heavenly Father. And then he gave us this command: have faith in God. Beloved in the Lord, that's our writer's message. By faith, have faith in God and in Jesus, who is set before us as the great preeminent example. And if you have that faith in God, in Jesus, you'll run the race. You'll look at the discouragements and you'll turn to your heavenly Father like Jesus did and find in him that strength he promises. Those temptations will come and you'll have that ability to turn to your heavenly Father by faith and find the power to resist those temptations, to speak evil of another, those temptations to be envious, those temptations that come in every form. They come to us and by faith we overcome. We run the race that's set before us. Only if your eyes are fixed on Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, where are you looking? Where are your eyes fixed? In everything. Is it in the daily mundane things of life? Oh, I've got this to do. I've got that problem to accomplish this week. I've got this thing that's weighing upon my heart. I've got all of these things. With all of that, how do you run the race? You have to lay aside the weights and you have to look to Jesus. And the strength is his. That will become yours by faith. Because as he said, trust or have faith in God. When your faith is in God, your faith will help you, like those in this great cloud of witnesses, to persevere and to endure to the end. May God give you that grace by faith to endure for his glory. Amen.